Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show. We talk about all things technology in an interesting and digestible way, but we do it without geek speak or a bunch of acronyms. We just want to talk about technology that's important to you.
We want to thank Cardinal Capital for sponsoring our show today. If you are a business owner or a CEO, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you're facing challenges such as a need to consolidate debt, maybe you're in growth mode, you want to buy new equipment, or level out your cash flow, whatever your need or challenge, give Cardinal Capital a call because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to the lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, they will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation. And here's the good part, they are easy and fun to deal with. For more information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. Call 225-308-3700 or email them info@cardinalcap.net.
Okay, so Mr. Davis, let's stir up a little pot of tech gumbo here. Start off with Facebook saying,
They're specifically responding to our segment last week, wherever we took the whole second segment and just talked about some of the problems that Facebook is experiencing and or causing, but they also might be responding to the Wall Street Journal here.
Yeah, we'll give the Wall Street Journal credit on this one. It was their story we were talking about. But of course, I think it's just as much an impact as that we at Tech Gumbo are having on Facebook as anything else. I agree with you.
They have since come out and denied everything all the way to the core. They just think they're saying the Wall Street Journal made it all up, that it was cherry picked, that it was fake news, and that Facebook just doesn't think that Facebook is bad.
Facebook's Vice President of Global Affairs, Nick Clegg, has officially responded by saying, "At the heart of the series is an allegation that is just plain false." And then he goes on to systematically talk about how, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just saying, that ain't right. No, I disagree without any kind of real evidence to show or any kind of anything to discredit the Wall Street Journal article. Just stop being so mean. That's not right to talk like that.
Yeah, Facebook is a company which is built on data and runs on data, and data is the absolute core and the gold of Facebook. If he wanted to, he could have cranked out dozens of different statistics that were to disprove anything, but they didn't, which is very interesting.
There's just not another way to put it. I mean, Facebook's response was typical four-year-old. Is that a cookie behind your back? And the kid's going, and there's crumbs falling all over them because they're crunching, they're squeezing their hands around the cookie, crumbling it. And the cookie jar is broke on the counter. Almost laughable. It's so sad.
Oh, yeah. And there was another article talking about how Facebook is shifting their interactions away. Facebook now will have the Mark Zuckerberg official account just stop interacting with negative news, and it's only going to talk about good things, and that they as a company are just going to respond less to any sort of and all of the negative journalism that happens about them.
Yes, it's going to become the Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House. Remain calm, all is well. Remain calm, all is well. As the rest of the world just crunches over right over the top of them.
Propaganda, Facebook propaganda.
Not a good thing. Moving along, Microsoft released a study that said all this hybrid work is leading to a lot more work.
Yeah, they released the numbers from, you know, March 2020 versus February 2021, and they found that there was 150% more meetings, 40 billion extra emails, 45% extra chats sent back and forth, and 66% extra documents being worked on. Those are crazy numbers.
That really is. I mean, when you've got that much level of involvement where people are just so focused and not taking time off, there's no downtime. You've created 150% more meetings that people have to sit through. And good Lord, who on earth is not just tired of virtual meetings? I mean, we talked about it last week, the people who have been fired because of what stupid things they were doing on virtual meetings. You said it best. People really need to get back to the office.
Yeah. I go into the office probably 3-4 times a week just to move a little bit. That I missed having coworkers. You know, I don't necessarily love all of them, but most of them are decent people. And it's nice to just have conversations and human interaction, and to, you know, if I have something that I'm working on and I need someone else's feedback, to just go walk over and knock on their desk, as opposed to sending an email and waiting for them to respond and having them send it back to me. And it's just so much easier to, hey, let's go sit in a conference room and talk about this for an hour and get it done in an hour, as opposed to 3 days of kicking around emails back and forth.
And the study showed some real fascinating trends that, you know, employees, even though they're kind of a little muddled over the whole hybrid working environment, over 70% favored telecommuting. That's why it's going to be hard to get people to want to come back to the office on a regular basis, because that drive into the office can just suck. And so which sucks less? Not seeing people or facing the drive or the commute into the office?
I think that place that we'll end up landing is a lot of people who don't go in 5 days a week. They do something like 2 or 3 days a week. And that's if you can get, you know, most of your team to agree, all right, we're going to be in on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then Wednesday and Friday, stay home. You know, okay, now you're doing something. Now you're getting that at home time. You know, your Fridays are maybe they're a little bit lighter, and you know, but you still have that benefit of being in the same space as the other person and making those things happen. You know, and you plan around that a little bit. I think some sort of system like that is where a lot of people are going to move, and that just. Maybe I'm biased because that's the one that I like the most, because I do know some people who are like, I never want to step foot in an office again. I want to move out to rural Vermont and just have a strong enough internet connection. And if I don't go a week seeing another person, that's good for me.
Because of this whole COVID thing, even right now, we're encouraged to work from home as much as we're comfortable with. And so I've been going into the office twice a week and just so I can remember where it is. But if I wanted to work full time forever from home, it wouldn't make that much of a difference. And I just like seeing people. And another thing the study talked about was that companies realized 54% of people felt overworked, 39% were saying they were downright exhausted, but a lot of them felt that way because they feel like their employers have stopped caring about a work-life balance.
Yeah, that's another one of the reasons why I like going into the office, is it's much easier to separate those things. That, okay, you know, I go in, I work, and then whenever I'm done, I close my laptop, and then I'm done with work for the day. Whereas whenever you're sitting at home and you say, okay, well, you know, I kind of took a little bit longer of a break during the middle of the afternoon, and so I should still be around to do a little bit more work later. And then, oh, you know, you're still on your work laptop, and then someone sends you a later email, and then you respond, and then now all of a sudden it's 7 or 8 o'clock and you're still doing work. And that's just separating spaces, having them be different, moving from one to another. Those are all really important aspects just psychologically to help you like sort through life.
The article ends, the bottom line, things may be rosy for thriving businesses, but the digital overlord trend isn't being addressed by business leaders. And that's going to be a long-term problem because people are going to burn out.
Oh, yeah. I think that even if sometime in the next 6 months, things go back to 100% normal and we magically defeat COVID, which I'm not going to speculate on the possibility of that. But even if it did happen, we need to re-figure a lot of this stuff out. And I think that a lot of work isn't being done to assess what the future of work looks like.
I agree.
Moving on, really interesting story we found. There was a man in Seattle who spent a couple years unlocking AT&T phones for about $30 to $40 per phone. And he unlocked almost 2 million AT&T phones.
Yeah, this guy was doing this. Originally, he was from Hong Kong, and he was extradited back to the U.S. to be tried for his alleged crimes. He was unlocking these phones. So, like, if you went to AT&T and you bought a phone and you were going to pay for it over 3 years kind of thing, so AT&T had the phone locked down, you couldn't take that phone and switch to Verizon or to whatever other company. You couldn't sell that phone. This guy had malware that he was bribing AT&T employees to get the code to shove this stuff into these phones that magically unlocked the phones.
Yeah, this is pretty clever that he was able to insert himself into the process right near the end. And, you know, you go talk to the person who bought the phone and said, hey, if you don't want to pay AT&T anymore, here you go. Just a small fee, you know, somewhere between $2 and $75, depending upon what he felt like. You know, you would unlock your phone and all of a sudden be done with it.
AT&T estimates it lost $200 million between 2012 and 2017 when this guy was doing all this stuff. And AT&T kept trying to put in more schemes to stop phones from being unlocked. And every time AT&T put out a new plan to stop the unlocking, he would just bribe somebody else and he'd get the workaround. And then he'd get the workaround. Then he'd get the workaround. And until AT&T finally figured out what was going on and they caught him, and now he's in jail for 12 years.
That's pretty interesting, you know. So fun little tech stories. Moving along, of course, you know, it's been a little bit since we talked about Starlink, so they had to come back in. They are officially going to exit beta in the next month.
That's right. So they've been putting up a whole lot of their satellites. The goal was to get to 2,400 satellites before they got out of beta. And so apparently they're getting close enough to where they can say, By the end of next month, we will no longer be in beta, which means we won't be taking the internet down for a couple hours at a time randomly. So they've got their about 100,000 people who are using the system right now across a dozen countries. They've got another 500,000 people who have already put up their money and want the dish.
The last time we tracked this number, I want to say it was about 90,000. And so, you know, that's to go from 90,000 to 100,000 is, you know, 10%. But whenever you think about 10,000 people and you're trying to get to 600,000, you know, you're really not increasing your user base that quickly. And so they say that they can produce 5,000 dishes per week. But even if you're doing 5,000 dishes per week and you got to get another 500,000 dishes, That's a little bit of time. You know, you're looking at 2 years before you even fill out your current backlog, much less anybody else who wants to join.
Yeah, they're going to have to get that up closer to, you know, 20 to 25,000 dishes a week to kind of get that backlog under control. But like you said, as soon as they open up the floodgates, you're going to go from 500,000 people to 5 million people in a backlog. And good luck. Go ahead and send you $500 and we'll get you a dish as soon as we can. Meanwhile, we'll be sitting on your $500.
Yeah, you know, the estimates range from 2025 to 2035 at that point in time.
But hey, we'll enjoy the float on your cash. So thank you very much for playing along. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with it. We will keep talking about it because you know, we love Starlink here. We love talking about Starlink.
It is news. So let's go on to across the pond to Germany. We found a story that Germany is very much concerned, and they're bracing for a big jobs loss between now and the year 2030 because of all electric vehicles.
Yeah, electric vehicles just have fewer moving parts. They're just a simpler engine that doesn't need as much going into it. And so whenever you have a simpler device, you need fewer people to build all the little pieces and fewer people to put them all together. And so what happens to people who that was their job?
That's right. You don't need spark plugs. You don't need pistons. You don't need camshafts. You don't need wires that go to the spark plugs. You don't need all that. There's two moving parts in an electric engine, as opposed to the gasoline engine, which has 1,000 moving parts.
Yeah, you don't even have exhaust from an electric engine. You know, whenever you start to think about the exhaust system alone, that you just completely do away with. And so you're really starting to shrink the number of people needed to build the electric vehicle.
And then on the backside, once you've bought those vehicles, you need fewer people to repair them. Because right now, okay, I need a tune-up. I have to go to the repair shop and, you know, they got to do their thing under the hood and, you know, you got to get the oil changed and you got to get, you know, the new air filters and all of those things that all those pieces and parts have to be repaired. New electric car, you just walk up and you plug in and you just type in some code and you change a few things and that's it. You're just back out on your way you go.
Yeah, it really is interesting to think about the fact that how much of the electric engine is just simpler. And we wanted to stick with the theme of electric vehicles with this last story. Michigan has a 1 mile test stretch of road somewhere in Pontiac, Michigan is the name of the city. But it's a 1 mile stretch of road with a metal beam in the road that will allow a magnetic field, which will recharge your electric car as you're driving over it.
And we did a story about this a couple of years back. It was a theoretical story at the time. And this is Michigan's Department of Transportation and the Office of Future Mobility and Electrification. Say that twice. You know, they've said they've picked out this one stretch of road in Wayne, maybe in Oakland or Macomb counties, that is going to be the most innovative stretch of road on earth in Michigan, because they're the motor state and Detroit City and all those fun things. They want to have this. And so that gets back to the question of, well, okay, what kind of cars are going to be able to take advantage of this? What, you know, does every electric car do it, or do you have to get the special little adapter that you plug in? A lot of questions.
You know, whenever we first talked about it, it was just a conceptual idea. This is them, okay, we're actually doing it. We're actually putting it in the ground to see what it looks like. But yeah, as you're pointing out, this is still very much a future technology. It's future mobility is in the name of the department there, because it's not just any electric vehicle driving across. You know, your Tesla won't just get recharged from coasting over this. You'll have to have, you know, special pieces and parts inside your car that will make this happen. It would be really cool if we could get there. I'm skeptical that we're anywhere near this. You know, it's one of those things that's fun to think about. Maybe hopefully 20 years from now, we end up kind of nearby. But this is, you know, one of those futuristic fun stories that's cool to think about.
Because you got to think, okay, this is obviously some kind of test pilot program, but you're only going to have 1 mile of this to do. So you're not going to get much of a charge in 1 mile. It's a proof of concept kind of thing. But even then, if you put it on I-10 between Baton Rouge and Houston, how much of a charge are you really going to get over that 250-mile stretch?
As long as you're getting in more charge than you're putting out, then you're fine. Because one of the problems of electric vehicles is that long haul trip where you don't have stops in the middle. And so if you say, okay, I'm worried about having to stop in Vinton County, right there on the other side of Lake Charles. Well, now you know that you can make it across that line. You can make it all the way to Houston. Well, there you go. You're really kind of solving that middle stretch of electric vehicles.
Very cool. We will keep our eye out for it. And we also want to thank General Informatics. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70 plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and governments. Our managed services teams can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. The true testament to GI's success, however, has been the strategic support to our clients' growth. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
We hope you enjoy our show today. If you did, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show, or you'd like to hear this or previous episodes, you can check us out as a podcast, available on almost every podcast platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time we post a new episode. If you like our show, have any suggestions, or have a question, text us at 225-255-0431. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.